Blog Talk Radio. Taim ukwa di songi dei, vakna di kuidelige drenge, de høyre nyken på havet skri, for de hef sovet i for lenge. Heim ukwa di songi lund, vakna di kuidelige drenge, de høyre nyken den heying hun, for de er sovet i for lenge. Nyken han tala til styringsmann, vakna di kuidelige drenge, du styrer mitt skip på kristne land, for de er sovet i for lenge. Jeg vil med på kristne land gå, vakna de kuidelige drenge, den
everybody. Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I am delighted that you all came tonight. It's going to be a great show. I have two wonderful co-hosts with me tonight. I have the mystical, the wonderful, and the enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hello. Thank you. Hi, everybody.
And we have the amazing presence of Kevin Gonzalez with us tonight, and we're truly grateful that you're here, Kevin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. You guys know I always feel welcome, and my love goes out to all.
Woo! All right. So where are we going to dive in today? Where are we going to get sticky and messy and dirty?
All
right, Goldie, get over yourself. Pardon? Pardon?
No, like the whale we were talking about today.
You know, I was going to introduce you as the whale, and I go, I'm not quite sure she wants the world to know that yet. That's the only reason
okay.
Why. I wasn't going to say a whale is a co-host.
Oh,
God. So you want to share? You want to tell them about what's going on with our beautiful friend the humpback?
Well, just that if people that are listening know that I make something called initiation art, and Golden Hawk has made a piece, and I have other people that have made pieces, and I started making initiation art back in 1995 is when I first made the first piece, which was the magic gown. But so just recently, you know, as I'm integrating more and more and finding, and it's kind of almost like in cycles that, and Golden Hawk and I were talking, that's like about 5 days ago, and said something like, oh, that sounds like time for maybe another piece of initiation art. And I think it was about coming into more of myself, remind me of the details. But then the irony was that there was a piece of driftwood that looked like the shape of a whale naturally, and it's big. It's like 20 feet. And I realized, oh, the initiation art is already in the studio. It's preceded me, as so often my art, my creativity does. Like the images come first, the art comes first, and then I kind of catch on and see it, that it's already there. So over the last 5 days, I've been creating this new piece of initiation art, and the whale is so beautiful, the meaning of the whale, which is the ability to go deep, and the ancient record keeper, and telepathy, and also about sound and reading sound and the knowledge in the voice. So it's been incredible. And once again, I become in awe of the process, as the art is already in my studio and Golden Hawk is saying, yeah, I think this sounds like an initiation art piece, which, by the way, I haven't made an initiation art piece for a long time, like, I don't know, 10 years. So,
oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was that long.
Yeah, it was the Cedar Stump was the last piece. And, yeah, that's about right. So, yeah, so it is amazing that the whale showed up, and then I recognized this was the process. And so I've been working on it. And so I'm really, first of all, resonating with that whale capability, and I'm really honored by it. And it's funny, I can feel I'm in the depths of it, and it's silent and just sound, and I like it. It's really appropriate for me right now. So and Golden Hawk sent me a beautiful picture of actually a whale emerging out of the water, and I put it on my screensaver, my laptop. So it's beautiful. Oh, and I posted it on the Facebook page of the event.
Oh, right on. I was going to say, can you, because I'm at Scott's now. I don't have that picture on this computer. Okay,
yeah, I
cool.
put it on the Facebook event page.
And, sweet. Perfect. Okay.
Yeah, it's really cool. Beautiful. And so the initiation art thing, I mean, and the integrating thing, and then I see that you post after we spoke the trusting, and then I thought, well, that's it. I mean, most of my integration right now is truly about coming into myself. Like, myself is already here. It's it's me. It's me, removing any of those blocks to that self and trusting and having confidence in that self. And we had the Golden Hawk, and I had a great conversation today. It was really great. I asked for it this morning as I was running. I was like, boy, if I had a therapist, I'd really love to talk about this. And then next thing you know, I'm in deep in like a 2-hour conversation with Golden Hawk going, there's the therapist.
I'm telling you, I was truly flattered doesn't even begin to. Right. I'm so honored to be Janine Kimmel's therapist. I mean, come on. I really, like, talk about a confidence booster. That was just like, wow, that is sweet. That is
so
just,
to be able to give back
is very cool.
Because, all of a sudden, I said, well, today you're the whale rider.
Exactly. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's good, and I'm feeling it because, there's an intensity about me, but there's also this vulnerableness about me, and I kind of like how I feel. You don't necessarily have all the answers, but in that's perfect. And what just struck me, and Kevin, you're going to love this because we spoke about this on the radio when I kept getting activated. With
all right, shoot.
How to empty the cup,
yeah,
so that you leave space for the new. And that's how I feel. It's like, oh, the cup is really empty right now. And I like the feeling because the new is coming, or it's,
I'm proud. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of all of us that are doing this. Everyone listening and you guys. It's just, I'm proud of all of us. We're doing a great job.
Well, yeah. Kevin, I mean, are you feeling it right now, how the frequency seems to be so ripe for this type of, for me, like, for integration and, right? I mean, this is
Yes, it's just, it's so obvious. Go ahead.
It's so obvious for anybody, because, I mean, I've been doing this work, or at least attempting to do this work, for 16 years. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you the breakthroughs that I'm having, literally in the last, from 2011 to present, are just, I mean, there's a word, exponentially, these breakthroughs, which are really, it's funny because even the term breakthrough, it's it, I do get to another level of awareness, but it's not by I'm starting to really understand. I'm not releasing old belief systems. I'm integrating them, and it's just that for me, I say that because you reach a certain point where you recognize nothing separate. It's not about separating anything from ourselves. It's about having the wisdom to bring it in, and from another level. I mean, Einstein said it. You can't solve the problem from the same level that the problem is designed. And never have I been so acutely aware of that as I have been even just the last 2 months of being in 2012 and doing the integrating. But, you know, even when I made my initiation art piece last year of trust, you start understanding how everything is kind of designed to get us to where we want to go when we work with the principles of standing in our truth, which means initially when you're looking at the situation that you want to shift, the initial point of contact must be ownership that you're in the situation exactly the way it is. Not from another space of, I've got this handled, because, I mean, it's like the 12-step program. The initial step that actually is the acute power in the situation is to go, I don't have this problem handled. I mean, it is handling me. And it's like there's this cellular surrender of going, and that's where I'm at. I'm not going to use my word. I've been noticing a lot of people that I'm talking to that – they're talking in abstract.
Yeah.
You know? And because, Kevin, God bless, I didn't realize it was, until Janine just said it, that it was your insight about emptying the cup. Kevin, that is so beyond brilliant.
I think that's the interpretation. I don't know if I worded it exactly that way, but...
worded it that way, but you said...
Oh, okay, right.
No,
okay.
But Kevin said, allow... for the, like, be open to the new come. It was an allow for opening.
Yeah, it was basically embracing the space and forgetting about the temporary materials that fade away.
Right. Well, and that works for wisdom
as
well.
Answers, because when you define that you already, when you define that you already know, you're kind of shutting down the new coming in or the awareness. So
exactly.
That it's like getting rid of the
nope.
I know everything kind of thing, or I know. And, you know, and that's that description that maybe I was trying to say, that I'm recognizing there's this, you know, I like the feeling where it perhaps in the past it could have been uncomfortable, but I like this empty space, so that there's allowing for the new. And I'm sure I know that that this whale initiation art is the creative process that is really integrating with me. And, you know, think about that. It's just such a depth of awareness and coming into the body of that whale. It's just amazing, really. So
it's huge, Janine.
Yeah, and I can feel it.
It is.
You know, I can feel it. So, yeah.
Well, really, I mean, if I could add a quick detail when you were mentioning the...
Please.
Embracing the whole idea of not... Of admitting that you don't know and just opening yourself up.
Yeah.
I think that this relates to a lot of the experiences that we have with fear and the sub-experience, if you want to call it that, anger, when we had a discussion at one point. When you experience anger and you express it, it has to be because you're judging the situation as, okay, this is wrong, you know, this is wrong, I am right. So that position is the position of, I know what it is. It's, I know what it is, and it is wrong. So it must be, I must react in this way because I'm right. I'm superior to that situation. So when you talk about letting go of that idea of knowing, it's embracing the possibility. If you want to see it this way, just the possibility that maybe what you saw as wrong isn't wrong. Maybe it isn't.
So true. So
you know?
That's brilliant. Yes. Yes.
So
well, and you know, you have to, I'm starting to understand also the idea of, First of all, Kevin, by any chance, did you listen to the Bill Wood interviews at all?
Bill Wood, no, not familiar.
Okay, so I'm just gonna—I'll speak about it, and if you want, we can, you know, we can kind of fill in details to help you understand.
Definitely, yeah.
Now he basically was an ex-Navy SEAL who worked on the Looking Glass project, which was essentially some kind of alien technology that allowed you to see ahead in time, anywhere in time. And what Bill Wood really just got straight into my being was the notion when he said, in out of the four interviews, this was the fourth one he gave with Lisa Harrison, how when the government hired him to take the data that everybody had used, had shared with, who had used the machine, the government wanted him to take the data and work on a solution so that timeline one, which is basically George's organic timeline, and I know you follow George, so I know you know that. They wanted him to take the data to, because remember when George said in one of the interviews, all the timelines, all the data was pointing to that the Earth comes to a wall of light on March 21st, 2013.
Yes. Yeah.
So the government wanted him to find a way to make it come to timeline two, which was essentially the human desire, the elite human's desire to eliminate 85% of the population, live underground, and and hold that elite status during these times. Now, what's so brilliant, I mean, because of course all of us who are, you know, connected, you know, by our being to the organic, you know, on a daily basis we're confirmed. That's what's happening. We're organic, we're connected with Mother Earth and all that kind of beautiful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But what Bill said in the interview was, what the elite didn't realize was every time they had me work on a solution to mess up timeline one, by the laws of the universe, they kept creating another solution to get us there. Because you can't create in a vacuum. In other words, opposites are always created. So they're paying him, for lack of a better word, they're paying him to create a way to screw it up. The universe in the same frequency in that dimension has just created a reason to support it.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Which is the world of polarity.
Totally. It's no kind of. Yeah. That is the physics of polarity.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Now I'm starting to pull this in. I'm using stories basically of myself, but as other people too, because I recently posted a story. There's a woman named Chappelle Corby from Australia, and in a nutshell, Chappelle is her and her father and her family are, you know, law-abiding citizens, beautiful people. Don't have any skeletons, quote-unquote, that an investigator could find. Just really good people. On the surface, in other words, that's what's there. Chappelle right now is, since like 2003, has been caught up in a web of the government's deception of trafficking marijuana from airport to airport, from Australia to like other local places like Bali, Indonesia, different places that they fly to. What they're doing is the government is paying bag handlers to take basically innocent people's luggage, stick the drugs in, and then the bag handler at the other end, wherever they're landing to, are supposed to take it out. So they're using the baggage as middlemen without the people who are – they're not even meeting them, you know, at upside at the airport. They're literally doing this in the bag handling aspect of the process. And to make a long story short, for whatever the reason, Corby's package never got picked up, which was 5 kilos of pot. And then Customs checked her package. And when Customs saw the pot, arrested her. So there's this, there's a documentary now that is totally supportive. It's like an, it's like close to 2 hours long, literally listing undeniable information of how the government is literally not using any type of protocol, any kind of legal protocol to convict her. They're doing everything like off the hook, corrupted, blatantly, blatantly. I mean, it right now, it is a major experience. That's what I'm going to call it. That's happening in Australia right now, and it's big news, and because it's like, you know, the epitome of an innocent person being convicted, you know, for a crime she had nothing to do with, because the government won't. The government literally, if they allow her to go, is there's an acknowledgement of the corruption that's going on there. I mean, and they're just not bending. So now this is a terrible thing, absolutely hands down. You know, when you see the videos of Chappelle, it's heartbreaking. I literally say to myself, oh my God, thank God that's not my soul's journey, because. Because, first of all, they say anytime you walk into a room, if you saw other people's problems lined up on the wall compared to your problems, without a shadow of a doubt, you would always go to your problems, because nobody knows your problems like you. So, now, I can't speak for Chappelle in the sense of I don't know what was going on personally and everything. But, see, the things that start running through my head from the perception of working and integrating my own experience, I look at life and I go, Chappelle, who had an investigator not even be able to dig up any dirt on this woman, in this dimension in reality, is now serving, I guess is 4 years, no, if she went in 2003 or 2004, is now 8 years serving a 20-year drug sentence. Now, how does that happen? Now, and I get it, how does that happen? Everybody's going to go, well, it's the corrupted government. Okay, now that's on this dimension, but my whole goal is to understand my life from my soul's perspective, because that's what my journey is. If I'm going to birth myself into Homo Illuminis, if I'm going to go into the fifth dimension, if I'm, you know, giving up all material things, so to speak, this is all about the journey of the soul. And as I just stated earlier in the program, when we reach a new level of integration, things make sense that didn't make sense on the same level that they happened. Mm-hmm. So I really can tell you, I don't have the answers to why it's happening to Chappelle, but my gut is telling me this has something to do with whatever's created, the opposite is created simultaneously. And I'm getting in 2012... This is what I'm doing, and I recommend it for most of the people who listen to my show, because, you know, we're all working on this integration, is it's really important to integrate places that we are polarized, negative and or positive, because as Bill Wood said in I think probably all of his interviews, this isn't about going into the light. This is about finding balance, which goes beyond duality. You know, and it's like, because my gut is telling me, without me knowing anything personal about Chappelle's story or situation, and I'm not saying that she is not hands down absolutely, you know, a victim, so to speak, of corruption. Yes, 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 yes. But in my journey, the soul doesn't give us anything that, you know, her soul knows what's going on. And so what is the soul's journey here? And I believe that there's a contrast being shown to her. And, you know, Nelson Mandela, he was also incarcerated, you know, with and he came out and ended up ruling the country. You know, it's like there are ways to look at what's going on in our lives. If you're looking at it from a victim, you're still polarizing yourself, you know. Because I just get the sense that right now in 2012, and this is not a United States or an Australia thing, this is a global cosmos thing, it is really important, and I'll be honest with you, I'm doing it, Janine's doing it, to look at the where are we in fear, where are we in judgment. And it could seem simple, but, you know, Chappelle might have just simply had a judgment about, you know, maybe drug addicts. I don't know. I just know she lived a clean life, quote unquote, on paper, and yet she's serving 8 years of a 20-year sentence. That is, those are the facts that you can't deny looking at. And if you're a real soul searcher, I need to understand this. And I don't need to understand Chappelle's journey. If I understand my journey, I'll understand hers, in the sense of I need to look at my own polarized thoughts.
And it's funny because let's see if I can link this all together.
Okay.
when Kevin brought up, when we had that conversation about the sub part of fear, then you have the anger and the wrong and the right, and then you asked me about anger and what did I think, Janine, and I said somehow what came to me was to entertain, really for me it would be go, you know, and this is just my way, but that to go to the unknown. And the funny thing is I don't even in some ways know what I mean by that, because it's an interesting thing to say, to go to the unknown or entertain even sitting on the park bench with the unknown next to you, see if you can inch closer and closer. So, I mean, this is my way of languaging things. So, you know, it's like, what is she? It might even be, what are you talking about? But that's the whole point. Because when you talk about, when Bill Wood talks about, by the very nature of them giving him the chore or the task of coming up with how to, kind of disrupt the final or organic timeline, which is unavoidable, which is beautiful in its own way, but that they created a flip positive, which now he's out here in the world being, a whistleblower and a pioneer.
Exactly.
And so then you're taking that way of thinking and applying it to this story you heard about this woman, and
seeing, God, Janine, you're right.
Because she has the
world looking at her right now. The world,
right.
I didn't even think of that. God, you're brilliant.
Well, yeah. I didn't either, because I didn't think of that. You got that.
That's Kevin. No, that's Kevin's energy bringing it.
No, but here's what I'm noticing is that we're speaking of things that aren't yet solidified in our thinking or our explanation, but we're touching on new thinking, unknowns, and I can feel that it's not quite congealed in us yet, but we're willing to sort of entertain these new perceptions or thoughts, and I love that, because it's exactly what I'm feeling. It's like there's something there, it's an understanding, yet it's still kind of, it's presenting itself, but we don't really truly grasp it yet. But that's how, that's the way now. It's let that in, because these are new. It's almost like in the movie Moneyball, when all of a sudden there's this new way of seeing baseball. I feel, and you know, it is the way of the visionary. The way of the visionary is there's a vision and you move towards it, and then it starts to take a form, but the vision and the sensing of the vision is first. And so I feel that, and I feel...
Okay, wait, I got to share something. Because here's where, like, from what I'm seeing of the videos that I saw of Chappelle, all she keeps saying, she's crying, she's losing her health, she's dying. She's in victim. And all she keeps saying was, all I ever wanted to do was get married and have children. Now, and I understand that. And she's a beautiful girl. I mean, truly, right, physically, aesthetically beautiful. But it's like she has the spotlight of the world on her right now.
Yeah.
If she turns that around... You know, it's almost like when what I did when I went bankrupt intentionally, I basically used credit card money, and I didn't use it against me. I used it for me. I mean, I never intended to pay it back. And I lived for 3 years by paying my bills and didn't have to have a job, which, you know, gave me the space to do my own internal work and kind of have the breakdowns that I needed to have in order to become a soulfully connected person, because there are breakdowns you have to go through, and you have to let go of responsibility, and you have to, I mean, as much as I get it, you're in a cell and that sucks, but, you know, Nelson Mandela, the guy, the Hurricane movie we talked about, it's so funny how,
yeah.
Janine, did we not just speak about,
yeah,
if, I remember saying to you, if you put me in jail, you know, it would clearly suck, but okay, I can still do my inner work. You can't take me. You can't put me anywhere other than torture. If you torture me, okay, now I'm screwed,
right,
because
right.
I can't do the inner work when I'm in pain.
Well, he transcended. He transcended, and he didn't get there because it was easy. They did confine his body, and he was miserable for a while. But then he transcended that and came to another way of thinking and understanding. That I am truly not a prisoner, you know.
Exactly.
And so,
yes, that is the gentleman from the Hurricane movie, which me and
Janine
highly recommend.
Stories, you know.
Yes.
The Hurricane Carter. The
Hurricane Carter, right on.
Yeah. And,
right
and by
on.
The way, he was completely put in jail.
Falsely.
Wrongfully, you know. This was also a setup. It was a.
It's exactly.
This police.
The man hated
him,
because he was
right.
black.
Right.
I mean, that was
so we have another
yeah.
case of that. And, you know, it's a powerful place to be in such a miserable predicament, totally, you know, and transcend this truly, like, rigid form of prison, because it's not just, you know, I'm out here in the, quote, world, and I create these paradigms where I all of a sudden notice I am imprisoning myself in a paradigm, you know, of what I think of, you know, supposed to be or do. And then you realize,
That's exactly
it's a mild version of transcending that thing. And so
yeah.
of being a prisoner of something, of the system of yourself,
right.
of yourself.
A prisoner of
so,
a beliefs, right?
Right, a belief.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I don't have a full understanding of these things, but I can sense that these are new ways of thinking and seeing things from a whole other perspective, that they do, which I like this part I like, and this is, they challenge the belief systems to let go and, you know, and which in the ultimate version, this woman is being challenged greatly to let go of the old belief systems.
Well, to unite Australia, that's what she's, you know, if instead of playing the victim role, and I get it, she's going to play this out until it's out of her system, because Max Egan was saying she could die, that everybody's basically seeing her right now, that she could die in prison. I hope to God she doesn't die physically. She dies to her
yeah.
belief. She has that, you know, she has the awakening. Because if she awakens, Max Egan literally said, less people live in Australia than they do in New York City. But to unite them, at which this is the cause, he says, this is it. You could unite the people of Australia. What that would do from an injection into all governments on the whole planet,
yeah.
It's a game changer. It's like
yeah.
literally this woman has the potential of being the game changer, just like Bill Woods had to leave the safety of being in the government to become the whistleblower, because that was his moment to be the game changer. It's like these incredibly auspicious souls, and that's what
yeah.
they come in all different shapes and forms to do, like, unbelievable things on the planet right now. Unbelievable. And the greater the challenge, the more responsibility, the greater the reward if you show up as your soul. Because here's the bottom line. If you're going to die, shit, go out blazing, girl. Go out blazing. Do not go out, you know, with your head down and defeated.
Yeah.
Go out screaming, you know, that they couldn't actually get you. They couldn't. They could only bring attention to you because you got something to say. I mean, that's the ultimate kick in the teeth, because that's what's happened. I mean, they're making fun of this girl on game shows and talk shows in Australia, like the Colbert kind of show. They're making fun of her. Well, because it's almost the ultimate taunt of get up, Chappelle. Get up, get pissed, and utilize the power that they have just put in your hands, because through the power of opposites, they have. They have.
Right.
She just... I almost feel like I need to write this woman or something.
Yeah, write her.
Because I'm not
going
to travel to Australia, because knowing me, they'll dump some ganj and they'll throw me in the cell next door. Anyway.
Write her. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I'm going to look into that, because, I mean, and thank you, everybody. Thank you, Kevin, Janine, you got the audience. Because I couldn't pick my, you know, when you got an idea and you know that there's something, there's juice in it, but if you can't harvest that juice, so to speak, and well, what good is the juice? You know, I want to be able to utilize it, and that is the utilization of it.
But it's funny, because I think there's a lot more. And
agreed.
And that's the whole point of this, you know, why I always love doing this show, because I always feel like, and I use this analogy, is as we speak, these words are like a flower blossom opening, and they're
right
alive
on.
And they're like new territory as we speak, which I love, because that's, you know, that's not old news, it's not stale news, it's not the past, it's right now, and it's forward. And so you know, and it is that and, you know, sometimes when you say things, you go, what am I talking about? And I love when I said...
Sometimes, all the time.
I love when I said, sit on the park bench next to the unknown and try to inch closer, because there's something there for me, and there's something there for anyone hearing me, because I think that the notion of, you know, that unknown and moving towards it is just, you know, it's an unexplainable, but it's kind of the thing to do right now, you know.
I was going to say, that's the point, for it to be unexplainable, because your whole message is to go into that realm that can't be understood, instead of embracing this whole idea that, hey, this is right, this is wrong, this is what reality is, these are the equations, follow that.
Yeah, which is very toxic if that's the only thing you're living by. And I say toxic because it's so easily manipulated, what we can't see, and to assume what we can't see doesn't influence it's scary to be that naive at this point. You can't be that naive to think that the unknown isn't manipulated. Come on. Pick any website, any radio show that has any substance. Everybody's talking about, you know. But the key about it is, once you recognizing that it is being manipulated, this isn't just about, okay, it's all their fault that I'm not this. You know, it's your fault that I'm not this. No. That's missing the point of that. That's looking at the situation from the same place it was created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The point of understanding that you're in a manipulated situation is so you then go within, integrate it, and then from the next new level up, you go, I see you now. And now I have some power in this too, because in the next level up, at the level below me, I know that you can incarcerate me, but you can't shut me up. No. Can't do that. And guess what? The world is listening. Oh, yeah. That's big.
Yeah, it is big. No, it's just so funny, because I'm thinking that when you speak, and you're speaking in a more, you know, you're speaking in like this almost invention as you're speaking, the words have a life and an energy to it. When you're speaking in the old paradigm phrases, they're like dead. They don't have any energy. You know, so I'm noticing that a lot lately, where conversations are either alive and they're inventions as you're talking. They're unfolding from the now, or if conversations are being held with the old paradigm of like cliches and old language that really doesn't hold, it just doesn't hold the energy anymore. So I was telling Goldie that our conversation that Thursday was it, and then, you know, and now, which on the Mystical Mother Earth Show, I just noticed that these are all very new conversations. They're not old.
Right. I mean, I literally just found this story 2 days ago, you know, and I don't question why I find things, but I am clear that when I set out on a quest to know something, information comes to me from all avenues, from, you know, billboards, books, radio shows, Facebook, wherever. I mean, and I trust that explicitly because it's beautiful. It's how you know you are connected to your soul, because it comes in. This has been happening to me. I remember when I was taking my first vacation by myself. I had fears of traveling alone, so clearly, you know, I knew I had to go on vacation by myself. Mm. And Janine, this is when I went back to that hotel in Sedona and cleared out that energy I told you was left there. I was driving to the airport. You know, I'm basically shared witless. I'm scared. I'm like, no, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this. Shit, I don't think I can do this. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, there's a billboard that says bliss. Now, I'll be honest with you. At this point, I'm not a bliss pusher. But at that moment in time, because I literally looked at the sign and I went, bliss. Like, who's selling what? What is bliss? Bliss what? What? And then it was like, you know, knucklehead, bliss. Get your ass on that plane, because your freedom is in the ability that you're not afraid to do it. That's what bliss is, you know, not being controlled by your fears. And, I mean, it turned into a tremendously integrating experience. And the fact that I was in Sedona at the time, it's like, oh, yeah, that really was really pretty good. Because just so people know real quick, I had been abandoned by a woman who was took part in my mother's long-distance healing. She had taken me to Sedona. She had the rental car and then left me there. Her and her boyfriend left me there. No car. No cash. I had a credit card, but no cash. I was so scared. I was just petrified. And I knew in my heart, not only did I have to heal that fear of being abandoned, that was not the first time I had been abandoned in a hotel room. I've had other history throughout my teens and 20s where I had been abandoned like that. I had to go back there and heal the energy. But come to find out, the actual hotel room I was in, a gentleman tried to commit suicide. Well, he did commit suicide. He just didn't do it in the room I was in. But he started out in the room I was in and then was moved to another hotel. So there was a lot of energy. And it's Sedona, which you already know is, you know, has properties of the unseen, you know, tremendously.
Yeah.
That I healed the room. And I used to speak on it before, going, if you go to hotel rooms, sage the room, you know, at the very least, you know, clear it intentionally, even if you don't burn anything, just intentionally, you know, who knows what the hell the person before you was doing in the room. And again, we're influenced by the energies we can't see. So, you know, if a big, huge fight was had by a couple and you go with your girl or your guy into a hotel room and all of a sudden you're getting edgy with each other, that could very well be the influence of the couple that was there before you. You know, and people are like, that can't be. And it's like, ask any empath if that can be. That very well is. It's not that it can be, it is. So the wisdom is to know to work with it. And it's not about judging it. Just go and clear the room. So it's just you and your, you know, you and your family, whoever in the space, not the residue of somebody else that was left there. Unless, of course, you know, it's in your divine order to experience it. You know, then.
Well, see, isn't it interesting? It's kind of an example of, as the negative experience of those people leaving you, the opposite was created, which was eventually you'd go back and you would clear the room itself and yourself.
I took my power back. That's exactly right.
But it's
exactly
the Bill Wood example of the opposite is created as well. You know, when they left you, and that then something else was created, and you fulfilled that later by going back, and then multiple positive things were done, which was one, you integrated something in yourself, not being fear, and you also helped clear something that was at the motel. So, you know.
Well, and you know, I do want to speak on this because I think it's important that once you recognize what needs to be done, the action step to confront the fear is imperative.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just know that it's a good idea to go to Sedona and not do it.
Well, because
I want people to know, how many do we know? How many people do we know talk the talk and don't walk the walk?
No.
The integration doesn't happen because it's in your brain or in your intellect. The integration happens when you actually put yourselves through the fear, live through the fear, and then integrate the self-empowerment that comes from going through the fear and integrating it. That is the integration process.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the phrase comes up to me that I like to use now. It's the whole universe is cheering you on. I mean, when you make that decision, and you feel it in your heart, like you're saying, you're supported, and you're definitely going through that fear, not alone.
Right.
You know, not alone.
Well, no. So, okay, wait. Let's dive deeper into that, because from that, Kevin, God bless you. This is exactly what the point I'm trying to make with Chappelle. You know what I'm saying? What you just said is, she's feeling isolated in that cell. If she recognized the whole universe is supporting her, and I don't share you share, because you brought that to this right now. You already get that. So can you share what is it like when the whole universe is cheering you on? What are the benefits of that?
I love how you're giving me this opportunity, because I have something that I should share that I think is directly pertinent to this. So. So let's look at it.
Okay.
Yesterday, I'm not even sure how to start this, but let's just go with it. Yesterday,
right on.
I had the opportunity to witness and to be with someone as they walked through their fear and they embraced awakening. This person is a cousin of mine through my mom's family. He's 24. I've never met him before. I've never even heard of him until yesterday. And he was in communication with my mom. And he decided to call my mom out of nowhere and just tell her how beautiful of a human being she was, and how really everything is happening, and everything is happening in divine order, if you want to see it that way. So, and my mom got this message from him, seemingly out of nowhere, after she was going through a very difficult time. But he sent her this message while he was going through a difficult time. So he just said he wanted to reach out to someone who could feel him, who he could really relate to, on not only the level of mind, but the level of spirit. Mm. And I thought it was originally just my mom, but he ended up relating to my brother, my sister, my father, and obviously my mom and myself. And here's what happened. So he decided to come over to our house yesterday, and he said, you know what, let me just go meet with these people. And supposedly his original idea was to just chill out and hang out with us, you know, maybe watch a movie or whatever. And here's what's funny. As he came into the door, as he walked in, my sister and I were the ones to receive him. He just embraced us as if he knew us forever, as if he knew us. It was. He hugged us, and we hugged him as if it was family. There was a connection there that was beyond the body. It was beyond you could just say beyond the mind. It was something that was very, very spiritual. It was just as soon as we received each other, it was a pure giving, a mutual giving of love and receiving. So he just came into our house, and it was just a very, very welcoming experience. And again, his original idea was just to chill out with us. But after a little while, I was around, and he was around, you know, kind of idle, just chit-chat here and there. And we were like, you know what? I don't know. I don't feel like watching a movie. None of us really felt like watching a movie. And then I kind of brought the topic. How about we just sit down and talk and relate with each other, you know? And I mean, what followed after that has to be one of the most profound experiences that I've ever experienced. Here's what happened. He ended up sharing that he was going through a situation with his female partner that basically made clear to him that she was an infection for his life. You know, she was basically a virus that he needed to just let go of. But the way that he was sharing this information, again, it was with total openness, total innocence. There was a purity of it. It was a releasing. I'm going to let this information go because I don't need it anymore. And you guys are here to support me. So he was doing this in front of my mother and my sister and I. And he was just telling us the story of his girlfriend and how, again, there was an attachment there with her. But at the same time, he had an inner knowing that she was holding him back from truly living his destiny and truly fulfilling his highest purpose and being his highest self. So he was telling us that he wanted to overcome this, but again, there was an attachment because there's a part of you that's that ego that feeds off of fear and suffering, you know? But he was able to recognize that. And as we were speaking, the girlfriend ends up calling him, just right then and there.
Of course, she felt him speaking about her.
Yeah, she ends up calling him. And before the call, though, we already went through so much of it because he released it all. And we told him, yeah, we support you. We support you. We say we still love you no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you did. We love her as well. She taught you this. She got you to this realization. So when she called, he was already in a state of higher awareness where he was going to be able to really walk through the fear. And she called right when he was ready. And he was ready to walk through the fear. For him, she symbolized, it's just the embodiment of fear for him. And so he picked up the phone, and it was just so powerful when that happened. I'm telling you, there was some kind of energy. I could probably perceive auras at that moment, but I mean, it was just, here's what happened. He picked up the phone and he answered, hello, you know, and it was great. It was powerful. She's like, yeah, we didn't really get to hear her end, but we just heard his end. And he was just like, look, Miriam, I think her name's Miriam or Miriam, something like that. She's Hispanic from Honduras, I believe. So she picks up the phone, and they're talking, and he says, I'm feeling free right now. Right now, I am greater than I have ever been.
Oh, my God.
I am free, Miriam. And then she's just shocked from what we hear. She just doesn't understand what's happening because the way that he's saying it is just like, I'm free.
He left her paradigm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. So I guess if I could get to the point faster.
No, you're fine.
You're fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
This is a great story.
Okay. Yeah. So after a while, you could see him. I mean, at this point, my entire energy system is kind of like on a flare. I feel like a certain presence coming up in me that's so excited, and at the same time, He's sort of like trembling. We're both trembling at this point. I'm sort of feeling it right now. That's why I've got like, because we were just trembling with this kind of energy that was flowing through us, and it was just like, man, I had to get up. We were sitting across each other at the table, but while he was in this conversation, I just had to get up. I felt the impulse to get up, grab his hand, and just have him in a little embrace for a minute as he was speaking with her. Because he was saying to her, look, I don't need you, you know? It was a way of like, you see the demon right in front of you and you're saying, look, you're not going to be part of my life anymore. I'm ready to embrace freedom.
Right.
I'm free.
On. Yeah.
And my God, what happened there? It was so he ended up telling her this stuff and saying that I'm free, saying that he still loves her. He still appreciates time, but not in the sense that, not in that attachment, but appreciation for the state of awareness that he has achieved through the experiences with her, you know?
Yeah, well, if he was angry or hated her, there is no, you can't let go of things in that state because it's a polarized state. You know, the anger and the hatred, really, it keeps the cords going. There's still a feeding going on. The only release that can be done is in love, because love is the state that says, I'm not attached. That's like the physics of releasing. And most people are like, well, if I love him, I wouldn't need to let him go. And it's like, well, that's because you haven't really genuinely loved yourself, because when you love yourself, you can let go of the paradigms that don't serve you anymore, which is exactly what you're, you know, sharing that your cousin did.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
I mean,
You could feel the presence of something great that, you know, was a part of all of you and was supporting him. And, I mean, you could distinctly feel it. And, you know, that's that supportive, there's something greater that's helping us transcend. But we have to...
The universe is cheering us on.
But we have to unlock the prison. And, you know, that's a perfect example of when he no longer was the prisoner and he released himself. And... You know, in the movie Hurricane, which is a true story, if you watch the end, you know, you are in tears of incredible being touched when he said, it was hate that put me in, but it was love that set me free. And he physically gets out of the prison because these people who loved him just wouldn't let up to help him be released from, you know, and go to court and all this. But it is, you know, and when I say sit closer to the unknown, I guess for me the unknown is that awesome supporting place where if you could put yourself in it, you are supported. But it's you
exactly.
That has to, the action is, you know, the key. I mean, you know, he really did it, your cousin, and it was such a great story, and you guys were a beautiful support system for him, but... it's funny when,
everybody in that room benefited from that experience, though. Every single person in that room, including the girlfriend that got let go.
Yeah,
everybody.
Yes.
Everybody.
I mean,
that's the neutrality of it. As it happened, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say that what we felt when he went through this fear, I mean, I felt like there was a cheering, a celebration of angels going on at that moment. I felt like the entire world sort of shifted in a different direction, and that direction is the direction of love. I felt like it was just, again, there was just, I don't know. I just don't know. It was just something.
No. Okay, wait a minute. Jay, I got to, you do know. Everything you just said, Kevin, drop the sort of, drop the I don't know. It's the truth. And you do know. And everything you just said, it is time to own it. We must own the superness of this. The world was changed by him, by you, by what happened. Just like the world was changed when Janine started embracing her, and when I embraced my little 4-year-old girl the other day. These are literally game-changing moments for the cosmos. Because what do we know when we watch the Nassim Haramein and the George videos? We know that we're not separate from the oneness is that it influences everything. Everything one being does influences all of it. All of it changes because of what we do. And so what we have to start now doing in our expression of these moments is to own it with a confidence that will help allow others to own it as well. You know, we're like the forerunners of the knowing, not the seeking, not the hoping, the knowing. Because,
Kevin, because we do know.
Goldie
brought that up to me today when I was using words like maybe and this and that, and she was right, and I think it's a practice where you catch yourself, you catch yourself saying these things, and you go, no, and you do get it. You drop the maybes or the sort of where same
right.
for me. And
right.
what the other thing I was thinking was, you know, miracles do happen right before our eyes, and we're part of it. But it really is just a shift in perception. It's not like, oh, the miracle that I can't explain happened. We can explain it. It's a shift in us, you know, and it isn't the, you know, so we begin to be able to own this because we are a part of it. We do know it. And, you know,
there's a difference in knowing it than questioning it. There's a difference in the intensity of it. That's why, you know, I'm kind of riding you guys a little bit. I mean, I'm riding myself, too.
Because it's
time we owned it, because it's 2012. By golly, you know, if there was ever a time to own it, yes, now is the time zone.
And
as soon as we're ready, because when we're done with this, I got to share about I want to share about little Cindy's insight too, because I believe it's going to help. Other people that might have, especially the empaths of our audience, but I want to finish this part of the segment, so to speak. So
And what I love too is on the same subject though, is that your cousin, first of all, he showed up, which is key.
Yeah, exactly.
The second thing is that he didn't cover up. He was vulnerable and he exposed himself, and that is truly a beautiful, loving presence when you do that. It's like that,
well,
you know, that's a game changer in itself, like the showing up and then not the covering up, and you just exposed himself. And then
well, and men, these are men doing this. This is the, you know, the divine masculine.
Yeah.
That is so, so tasty and delicious. I love it. I love it.
I was going to say that You posted that on Goldie and trusting yourself and just the trusting, and that's what it was. There's no way he could open up that way if he didn't trust that there was something else important. You know,
exactly.
He would have been contracted. He wouldn't have shared anything because there would be a resistance of no. You know, I can't trust these people. But he opened up to us as if he knew us forever and we're here for him. It was directly from the heart. And what's funny is he set the intention. He said that I am going to ask, I'm asking for support here because I feel
beautiful.
It in my heart.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's there
what he said.
Go.
He said, no, before he came to the house, he told us that what he asked for, what he asked for was support. He left it as general as that. I want support and I want to get clear about what I truly wish to do with my life and how I wish to live.
Right on.
And
you don't know how important those actions are in how it plays out, because it just puts you in total alignment with the truth. That's what those statements do and those declarations do. They put you in alignment. And when you're in alignment with the truth, it's unbelievable. And the truth, I'm talking about the truth that beyond the five sensory perspective, I'm talking about the opposite perspective, that when it's like I've been getting this clarity that like when, I'll use Bill Woods as the example, that, you know, okay, he goes in to create a solution to mess up timeline one, automatically creating the solution to support and create timeline one. Now when they are like, I got my hands in a ball. It's like there's a fusion that takes place when you can see both sides of the polarity of truth. And it's kind of like the negative and the positive, but to be able to see that there is the fusion that takes place, it has a release of energy and clarity. And I can't, it's an alchemy. It's an alchemy. So what I encourage people to do, and shucks, the Crimson Circle people have been talking about this for over 10 years. Look at things from all sides, not just what's in front of you. Get behind it, go to the side of it, put yourself in their shoes, put yourself in somebody walking down the street's shoes. because this really is a game of perception.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get those fusions going on by seeing, because, I mean, the divinity of your cousin is truly that he did change. I mean, I love game changers that are bringing in the courage to walk through their fears. This is what I live for. It's what I do in my own life. It's what I support. It's what I scream about every week. That's what Goldilocks. And that's, you know, it's like, and I love that, you know, the magnetism, the divine feminine bringing me these stories through you and Janine is so, the harmony in that is,
I mean,
just.
It's another example. Yeah, it's another example of the support that's available to us once we open ourselves to it, you know?
Right on.
Yeah.
It's right.
It's an example.
And, but it's unseen. It's unseen in the sense of you don't know it until you show up, and you got to trust it first, then experience it, then you should be able to shout it with a knowing that is unshakable. That
yeah.
should be all of our con. Because right now, so many people don't even know it, let alone trust it. That, you know, the world. Even though, of course, I mean, it's changing. It is changing, and you know. I'm just, I love it. I just love it.
Well, it's now, what's happening, the way I see it is, it's that whole, when Bashar brought up the example of life being very much like a mirror, it's now that we are truly becoming and embodying this truth. The reality in the so-called external world has to reflect that.
Right.
Because we're being it now. You know, that's why all of this class, yeah.
So. The cells are starting to shift, which is in turn shifting what we're seeing in front of us. That's exactly right. You know, because people are like, how does the inner work change the political scene? And like, how does the inner work change the political scene? Well, what we just talked about with Corby, you know, instead of potentially dying in that cell, she can unite a country. From that cell, that is absolutely a potential for her, and all you have to do is look at that potential. You know, one, literally she dies a victim in the cell, and the other, you know, she becomes, you know, the next matriarch of the country. You know, she becomes the superhero of 2012 in the liberating experience of all of us resisting, integrating the corruption of the government. Because the key about the corruption that's everywhere, because another thing that is very apparent to me in this Corby story, it's not just the government that's corrupted. The government is paying people left and right to lie about Chappelle Corby, and they're taking the money. And, you know, I have always said, if you can be bought, you can be sold. And that people should be very clear on if they accept payment to do, you know, unethical or something, lie, withhold the truth,
mm-hmm.
because in the presence of the energy we're in, what comes around goes around. You know, I mean, oh boy, but it really is not just the government. It is there are people throughout Corby's world that are taking huge sums of money to basically tell lies, and of course to the people who, you know, are seeking the truth, so to speak, it's so obvious the lying going on. You know what I mean? This documentary really pointed it all out, and you know, and it's not just happening in Australia. This is on some level happening to all of us right now. I mean, it really is, and you know, your best defense is be honest with yourself, have integrity. Face your fears, integrate. The I say it's the best defense because the time has come where the universal energies are soulful. The universal energies really don't give a shit about your ego right now. Now, your ego doesn't want to give up its reign because your ego believes it's protecting you. I mean, that's another way, by the way, to look at ego. Ego is not just this, you know, maniacal aspect of our being that only wants, you know, the material things. You know, the ego is set on a dial of the basic survival mode of the physical world. And listen, it was damn good when we needed that, because when we were coming into our descension, when we were coming into this body from spirit, we needed something to keep us here, to keep us in the physical, because we kept popping out. You know what I mean? Like, the whole Lemurian age was all about, you know, we'd come down and go, oh, okay, we're out. You know, we needed something to ground us in the physical. That was that part of the game. Now we're at the part of the game. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to say I just love how you put that. It's a great perspective.
Yeah, so because now the game is we're not descending, we're ascending. So we're gathering up everything that we've grounded into the physical world. So now, okay, now it's no longer appropriate to have the ego in charge. Now it's appropriate to have the soul in charge. And the soul is plowing through these experiences, if indeed we give the time and space to allow that to happen. Which is like the situations when your cousin shows up, the situation that Janine, you know, is embracing her whale. I mean, these are all, you know, what's available to all of us. But it really is funny how right now the ego is just creating a whole lot of havoc for people, because it's not in alignment anymore. If indeed it's time for your soul to ascend. Because I have a friend of mine who is, I got clear that he's descending. You know, his soul came into this game later, and he's actually descending still. He's not ascending. And as soon as I got that, it was like, I kind of had an understanding. Stop trying to put him in a timeline that he's not. You know, honor the idea that it is more important to be physical to him than it is to gather up his pieces. He hasn't even left his pieces to the degree that he's going to. He's still in the process of planting his separation seeds. And once I got that, it's been helping me have conversations with him, because when he goes to give me advice, I'm basically like, you know, I love you, babe, but no, you don't have to give me advice. Talk about your journey. I'll listen, just like I'll talk about my journey when you listen. But I'm not so much wanting your advice, because you're on a different part of the journey than I'm on. And I was like, listen, I won't give you advice on your journey. He goes, no, I love when you give me advice. And I was like, okay. And the funny part about it is he doesn't listen to anything I say. I mean, like, he listens, but he doesn't act on any of it. So it's like, well, okay. I mean, if, you know, personally, I could listen to myself talk, you know, from here to eternity. So... on that happy note, I do want to
like
share
that.
About... Aw, thank you, babe. I love you. I do want to share about the little Cindy integration, because it was really profound. The other night, 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. Scott was working on his computer. He had still not come to bed yet, and I basically freaked out. It's like, all right, I'm going home. You know, if you're not coming to bed, well, I don't know what the hell's the use of me being here. And, you know, he proceeded to tell me he had a total meltdown crash with his computer, and he was working on it all night. And, you know, I ended up staying only because his car was blocking me in, to be quite honest. But it was good that I stayed, because I'm learning. My whole gig is, when I'm uncomfortable in a situation, especially in intimate relationships, I run. So I was talking to Janine the next day, and it was so, we had this beautiful conversation that first started with the question, and here's how the question, it's so interesting, actually takes a universal form of everything we're talking about tonight. We were discussing the ability to understand, you know, people that work in slaughterhouses and people that do, you know, really crazy things to animals or children, and how we would like to reach a point one day of understanding that, you know, genuinely understanding it, because we're still both triggered, as many of us are, by those experiences. And as the conversation morphed, it came up that when I was 4 years old, and I remember this distinctly, I was a very sensitive kid. I cried a lot. I mean, a lot. And I was always screaming for my mother. The only place I felt safe was with my mother. And so we were kind of walking me through how it was. I cried so much that inevitably my mother stopped coming. You know, I don't mean permanently, but, you know, she pretty much, she had it with the crying. And I would run behind the couch. It was this couch that was up against a corner with this corner table. So it had like 2.5 feet behind the couch, which was perfect for me to sit in. I was completely covered. I used to always like that as a kid, being completely covered. There was something about that. I liked being in the doghouse. I liked being behind the couch. I liked being underwater in the pool. There was just something about being completely covered that made me feel safe. But I experienced a lot of, I felt abandoned because I so wanted my mom, when I would cry, to come get me there. It's like, I'm here, I'm in super pain, and you're not coming to get me. And so Janine suggested that I have a conversation with my little Cindy. And so I decided, it was a brilliant idea. So I bring in little Cindy, me at 46, and my fifth dimensional aspect. And we sit in a triangle, and we lock pinkies, and I go, all right, let's start talking. And, you know, little Cindy is sharing, oh, by the way, Kevin, I'm not sure, Cindy was my birth name. That's who little Cindy is. Okay. We started sharing, little Cindy started sharing how, you know, scared she felt, how unloved she felt, how abandoned. And then all of a sudden, fifth dimensional Cindy, Goldarissia, Golden Hawk, whatever you want to call me, comes up with the brilliant notion that little Cindy is empathic. And what little Cindy's feeling is mommy's pain and mommy's insecurity. And what really needs to take place here is little Cindy needs to go to mommy and save her. And I can't even begin to tell you the experience that exploded within my being physically. My cells were shifted in that because I know I'm empathic. I've been empathic my whole life. It literally became clear to me those were never Cindy's experiences. It was just what she was feeling from her mother. I didn't own them. They weren't mine. And as soon as that was clear, there was this knowing. It was a wave of knowing. I could feel timelines, literally timelines, being shifted from this wisdom. Now, and the interesting thing about this was the night before, me and Janine had a conversation in the morning. That night, leading up to that morning, my mom came to me in my dreams, which she does periodically, but there was something very interesting about that night when she came to me in my dreams. For a very few seconds, I went lucid because I went, oh, mom's here. You know, like I just was like, I'm dreaming. You know, she's dead. I'm dreaming. She's here. And then I lost lucidity and continued to have the dream. But it's like there was an orchestration for the meeting that happened behind the couch, which is a game changer for me. I mean, it's like it eliminated in that timeline healing, it eliminated all the artificial timeline that was based on abandonment for me, which shows up. And a totally false belief system based on that the abandonment was mine, which I, because as an empath, you feel it, but that it's not generated from within. As a little girl, I was totally connected. I mean, I was telling Janine, I had, I used to keep these bottles of water. They were these clear little spice bottles, and I would fill them up with tap water. And I knew in every cell of my being that they were magical bottles filled with water. And they were all over my room. And my mom used to be like, why do you have all this water in your room? And I'm like, leave it. It's the magic water. But I could talk to animals. It's so funny because when I was having this conversation and as the insights were coming, I completely realized how in tune I was with everything I'm striving to be in tune with right now in my life. I was naturally that when I was a kid. And for the first time in my life, I connected with that natural part of being in attunement. I didn't connect with, for me, the longest, I was quote unquote, I was sexually molested. Boy, did that throw me on a whole, whole journey, artificial timeline. Okay, and it served, definitely. But it's done. There's no influence of that experience in my life anymore. And what happened is embodying the empathic truth was like another huge piece. I mean, huge piece of the suffering to this day I still experience when Scott doesn't come to bed at 3:00 in the morning. It's like, I should easily be going, hey, babe, what's going on in there? Oh, you're having computer problems? I'm so sorry. All right, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to bed. Instead of making it, all hell has to break loose because he's not in my proximity when I wake up. That's not a balanced being. It's not who I choose to be, and yet that's how I respond, and yet not anymore. I already know. I'm almost excited to see when the next thing might come up because I just know intuitively because I can feel it. I can literally feel it that piece of information that it was my mother who was truly insecure. It was my mother who was feeling abandoned. I mean, it was a game changer. And, these are what is potentially available to every one of us if we're willing to not only just show up, but, get creative. I mean, literally, I had this whole conversation driving home from Scott's house. I was driving, and I was behind the couch, me, Goldarissa, and little Cindy. I mean, there we were, Pinky sworn to, the power of three. There was some charmed ones going on there, and it literally changed my life. And what was so amazing about this whole day was, it was simultaneously, while Janine was realizing her whale was her initiation art project, the whale was already in her studio, and she began the process of creating this piece of wood into this magical whale. So as I'm having these incredible aha, awakening, game-changing moments, I can call my best friend. And often me and Janine have talked about, often we'll call people and, they will just deflate, the joy of that integration moment because, they're in their own hell. But I didn't get that at all. I mean, so it was already showing up as the difference, because I was in this expanded space. I was ecstatic. I mean, just ecstatic at the simplicity, and yet the power that simplicity was literally birthing in me. And then Janine's having the same ecstasy happening on her end. It's like, oh my God. And so I really got when you said, Kevin, I knew the world was feeling our ecstasy. It at least had the potential to feel it. If it wasn't feeling it, all it had to do was shift ever so slightly, and it would be available for them if they wanted it. It was huge. It was huge.
It's funny because the flipping of, the unpredictableness of, I suggested, hey, have a conversation with her, the little girl, Cindy, or write her a letter. But, yours was to have the conversation, which was great. But the surprise was that there was a complete flipping of a belief system that you thought that was you. And that was, like, for me, it was like, there's that miracle thing. But what is a miracle? It's a shift in perspective.
Okay, exactly.
So here's the cool thing, though, that I've noticed in the last 24 hours is that, and especially today with me earlier and then me and Kevin now, but this, and I'm sure Kevin will see this, that by you flipping that belief system and seeing that it wasn't you and that you are able now to be much clearer about who you are as you were then, you are now very clear on listening and hearing when people are being wishy-washy about what they know and what they feel. And you're calling people on it, and, you know, in a very constructive way, by the way. It's a very supportive way, but it's also a very definite way of, wait a minute, let's get the maybe out of there, get the sort of out of there, get that
right.
out of there. Because
right.
you have flipped that for yourself.
Right.
You were sort
right.
of unclear. With your clarity, now you are able to hear other people when they're not necessarily in their complete clarity. So it's very, very, I mean, I've noticed it. It's very cool. And
right on.
Yeah.
Thank
so,
you.
So,
thank
and you know, it's look again how another paradigm is created. Just, it's like the physics of everything. It's like from your experience, something else was created, you know, and it's helping. It's helping anyone who's willing to be helped.
And, yeah, yeah,
you know, which,
yeah.
is, which is a key piece. And also I wanted to say that a very important part of what Kevin was saying, and this is really paramount, that the person going through whatever they're going through recognizes that they're supported. Because that's a key piece. So, you know, I'm just picking up from everything being said tonight. I'm going, oh, yeah, these are such important, you know, sort of treasures that are coming out of what, you know, Kevin said, you said, and all how our stories are connecting. So,
yeah.
So,
it's divine.
So,
it's divine.
Yeah, it is, actually. It is.
As she scratches her head. As a matter of fact, it
as
is.
As I flip my tail and fly out of the water.
Right on. Okay, so wait. Is Moby Dick would be too masculine, right?
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay, God. No, I hear you. I'm only joking.
That's okay. But I do love Herman Melville as the author. You know, I often think of him. You know, he wrote Moby Dick.
Right. All good. No, we won't call you Moby. No. We'll find it. You'll find it. If you say
right,
so, okay.
Right.
Moby,
yeah,
it is.
That's funny. What would Walt Whitman say?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, did you ever oracle him? Did you ever do
I
it?
I did it.
Okay.
Look, though. I'll have to go.
Yeah,
look,
right
through.
On.
Yeah. So.
So, yeah, deep, right? I mean, deep changes available.
As you were sharing that story, I just felt so proud of you, really.
Aw, thanks.
I was just like,
I'll take it.
I felt such a great love. I'm just like, wow, you know, she's really doing this, and it's so beautiful to hear that. You're getting it done, you know, what you came into this world to do, you're
right
doing
on.
It, you know?
Right on, thank you. That is exactly the ecstasy that is available to all of us. And the beautiful thing is, you know, I'll tell you, I used to be like, oh, I'm going to heal the world, but I was doing it, you know, through laying my hands on people, through hypnotizing people, through all these quote-unquote techniques and, you know, healing centers and, oh, my God, churches that were aware and blah, 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 blah. And the truth is, healer, heal thyself. And that it is the soul's purpose that heals the world. It really, really, really is. I'm... You know, it seems so like, no, I'm just one person. It's like, no, you're the entire cosmos. And you know, every cosmos that heals thyself leaves the, you know, is the availability that when another being comes into us, because like, right, that's what George says, beings are coming in and out of us, right, to explore our universe? I mean, it's pretty obvious to me. You and Janine are in my universe, and me and Janine are in your universe, and me and you are in Janine's universe. I'm very, you know, we're connected. We know who we're connected to. Just like you don't need physical time in this dimension with your cousin to have the knowing that you're in his universe. That's why you know him. Because there is an aspect of Kevin that's in his universe experiencing him. And in that connection, which as George put so beautifully, does it get any more intimate than that? Clearly the answer is no. And from an influential point of view, can we be any more influential to each other than to have our universe be, you know, transformed into a harmonious experience? Whew. That's deep, man. Deep like the bottom of an ocean deep. I mean, deeper than a bathtub. Deeper than a piece of paper.
You're profound.
Well, it's very easy to be profound with you two. I mean, and the audience.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
I mean, it's crazy, wild, beautiful. It's just so so much to offer, and you know, the Corby girl really shows up for me as heal what's in front of you. What shows up in your life? This is our journey. The journey isn't, you know, let's have kids and get married. You know, I'm not saying you can have that as part of it, but if that's not, you know, where your soul's throwing you, well, then accept what your soul is giving you. I mean, again, to reference George, you know, George has had extraordinary experiences, but as a child, he didn't want those experiences. You know, he was being abducted by malevolent beings. He really wasn't too pleased about that. Mm. And then his wisdom came to understand, I need to understand this is my journey. Okay, so if it is my journey, I need to accept it and then understand it. That all comes from the state of point. The grace that we get from our experiences first comes from the accepting of it. And I mean cellularly accepting of it. Eckhart Tolle says, you must acknowledge what is now. You can't say, I don't want this to be happening. It's already there.
Right.
How do you deny it? Now we have to start from the point of, I accept what's here. Now, where do you want me? And if you ask the questions or state them like your cousin did beautifully, okay, I want support and I want clarity. You,
yeah.
Every one of us has the availability of the cosmos, which is ultimately ourselves, that the clarity and the support will come rushing into us to do what our soul has in mind for us to do. 'Cause, you know, do you guys see when people are writing the stuff on Facebook, you know, all the, you know, the only thing that's keeping you from what you want is the belief that you can have it. And, you know, I see these posts and I go, you know, the first thing that I would highly recommend everyone to make the declaration is, don't want what you don't have what you want. Because that's the first part of what I was talking about, that behind the thing, you know, that fusion I'm talking about, where are you right now? Make that what you want in the sense of, I want to understand it, I want to be clear on it. And if you want it to shift, okay, that's okay, but the shifting can't start with you immediately going, I don't like it, get out. Well, no, that's not the way to shift it.
Right.
The way to shift it is to become it, literally in every perspective, because then you'll see, you know, is the insecurity that you're feeling someone else's, or is there a fear that's holding you back that, you know, if you overcome it, will literally change the frequency of your being? You know, so much to be offered in the duality and polarity that we're experiencing right now because of the times we're living in, because we're nearing the galactic center, and you know, and we have photon energy, you know, just being, you know, expunged from the sun. You know, it's like if there was ever a time where the statement "all is not as it seems" would apply, it would definitely apply on February 13th, 2012. All is not what it seems, and the rules cannot be any clearer. Where are you? Start from there. Start from where you are, and you'll exponentially move. You'll extrapolate. I mean, you start off as a little snowball, and by the time you get to the bottom of the mountain, you're an avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ready to plow through, and you know, it's.
I think you have to write her.
I think I have. You know, she's really who I'm referencing. That's funny you said exactly, Janine, because, you know, it's like, whoa, you definitely. She has such a big soulful part of this, and I mean, I'm telling you, she has the potential to be in the rankings of Nelson Mandela and Martin Luther King. That is how big her contract is.
Mm-hmm.
All she has to do is recognize that. Because in the recognizing of it, she will be empowered by the energies that empowered those beings, including being okay to die. It's not necessarily that she has to live, but she can't die a victim.
Yeah.
You know, die strong, die proud, die with the strength that, because I have a feeling, quote unquote, remember what we talked about, Jenny, L-O-R-E, her lore, she's the major player, she can't die. So she's, you know, she's kind of in a space where you're going to get to the place, you're going to get close to death, and you're just going to sit there, you know, until she finds the empowerment inside herself, not outside herself. I mean, she's got to start asking the questions ultimately, why is this happening to me, but not from the space of because I'm powerless. Why is this happening to me, and what power do I have to change it? Not to change necessarily coming out, but to change the situation and how she's experiencing it. And it's funny because those are pretty much valid questions for any of us to ask in any point in time in our... Right? I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Those are the questions. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. I'm scratching my own head now. Wow, I really got you two thinking, huh? I can feel it. Should I belch? Hello? Hello? Whoa. Hello? Janine? Okay, I see both of you guys on my caller list, and I can't hear either one of you. Kevin just hung up. Janine, hang up and call back. Oh, no. Janine hung up. Kevin, hang up and call back, babe. I can't hear you either. Wow. How bizarre is that? That is bizarre. Hello? Hello? All right, somebody, well, let me wait till they call back. You know, maybe it wasn't me, but I couldn't hear them. All right, there's Jay.
Hi, I could hear you.
I couldn't hear you. It was so bizarre.
And I
Kevin hung up.
Known.
He's going to call back. You couldn't what? You couldn't hear Kevin?
Oh, no, I couldn't hear Kevin, but I could hear you. So who knows what happened.
Yeah, but it wasn't that interesting, you know, just in the timing of it all. It feels like, because all of a sudden I was like, I feel so alone.
You were in the unknown.
Yeah, totally. It was kind of just, it was an interesting
effect. No, but I could
effect.
Hear you, but you couldn't hear
okay,
me.
Okay, right on. Yeah, I could not hear you. Hello? I mean, it was, and it's funny because I picked up on it immediately. It was like,
I know. I
you know,
like,
it's interesting.
I was like, why is she saying hello like that?
Yeah, I hope Kevin calls back. And if not, you know, of course, we love
yeah.
Kevin. And, you know, if his family came back home, that's all good.
Yeah, it was a great story, though, wasn't it?
Oh, well, his presence, you know,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Clearly, you know, we done good, you know. When he's part of the show, yeah. I mean, speaking personally, he just, it's so interesting because bringing little Cindy into me is so funny because I am... on so many levels, acknowledging the empathic aspect of myself, when I'm having conversations with people, different people bring different wisdoms to my awareness because, you know, every journey is different. So, you know, I really can appreciate when I'm engaged in conversations with different people because I explore and I see perspectives that I might not have seen, you know, with maybe somebody else's energy, you know, blending with mine. And his is, he helped me understand. I mean, it's so funny because he posted it on Facebook. There he is. He posted it on Facebook, you know, the universe is cheering you on. And it's like, wait, Kevin, talk just so I know I can hear you.
Yeah. I'm good.
Okay, good. Okay, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I was just sharing how, you know, your insight into the universe cheering us on was such a benefit in helping me understand more from the Corby story and situation. And, you know, little Cindy is already showing up in my world as that I'm embracing my empathy, you know, the ability to have different conversations with different people and draw the wisdom of that person's experiences. I mean, it shows up in my physical awareness of my own life and my own experiences. Because you brought that tonight, and you know, I'm stoked because, you know, when you do a radio show and, you know, you start walking on belief systems such as, you know, all right, we're going to start diving into, you know, muddy waters from a societal point of view of, you know, we're talking about a woman who's been clearly charged with a crime she didn't commit. You know, there's corruption from here to, you know, the moon and back again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So to approach those conversations from a perspective of, well, and what part does she have to do with that? You know, it can be very sticky.
Yeah.
And Janine has been one of those people who, by golly, Janine goes down every sticky rabbit hole with me with an open mind, you know, a curious heart, you know, a wisdom that contributes. Because, you know, that's the kind of perspectives you got to have to be a soul seeker, because the soul does set up things like being tortured. I mean, George's soul set it up that he was tortured. You know, so these are part of the truths of soul world that you really have to, you know, you got to be open to walking a very unique, well, not unique in the sense of everybody has this opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just got to be willing to be authentic. That's what I'm trying to say. You got to be willing to be authentic because I do have these perspectives. I've had them not for most of my life. I have, but I'm getting better at understanding them, so to speak, and how to speak of them. But the truth is, I mean, my life changed when Janine entered my world. From the radio point of view, she did support me and does support me so that I could say these kind of crazy things and then she can kind of translate them into coherent, oh, so Goldie's not a crass, uncaring, cold bitch. Because that's how the world can see me. How dare you not have pity and sympathy for Chappelle Corby? You know what I mean? How dare you? It's like, well, I don't think pity is going to help her, you know, transform her situation. I think awareness and universal energies clearly. And if people go, well, I don't believe that. It's like, well, you don't. It's already been shown in history. Nelson Mandela has already done it. Hurricane Carter's already done it. I can list you people who have done it. You know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get it also that, you know, we have an audience that is so, you guys are so juicy and beautiful because you guys really are open to, come on, let's look at life from an expanded point of view and not be judgmental. You know, let's do that. Let's do that together because that is a true side effect of being a fifth dimensional being. And that's the goal here, to live...
Yeah.
in the dimension that is beyond duality. Or not beyond duality, but where duality is really just a difference of opinion. It's no longer, you know, clubbing baby seals over the head or prosecuting innocent people. You know, beyond that. Beyond that.
Yeah. Well, when you're looking for the meaning of things that are challenging because of the very nature of them, that they're clearly, you could look at it from a very biased perspective because, you know, it's easy to do that. But when you're looking for the meaning of something, you have to be willing to look at it from both angles, or as you had said, from many angles. And that's when creative solutions appear, and only then. You know,
right.
out of that fertile ground comes the solutions, or because, you know, how surprising was it to you and for me just from hearing you that you got that it wasn't Cindy that was a wounded little girl, it was Cindy that was feeling her mother. That is a completely different perspective, and that I wouldn't have expected either. So when you're looking for meaning, you know, there is a place here where, I mean, it is a place of an expanded mind is willing to do that without even knowing that you have an expanded mind or that I do, but that, you know, you can't look for meaning and just be...
Okay, wait, though, I got to interrupt. I do know I'm expanded. I know.
Well, now, but right.
Well, meaning so, I know I can connect to that.
But that's
okay,
the person who's looking at the true meaning. When you're looking for true meaning, you have to be you naturally have an expanded mind, or you wouldn't be looking for that meaning because it's too.
That's true. Okay.
You're too. It would be like you know, that's what politicians are always angling for. They're looking for that. That's what being political to me is. It's always looking for the biased perception to convince something of someone. A true
right.
person looking for meaning doesn't have a political, you know, there's nothing political there or a bias like, oh, how can I twist and turn this to make this that my perspective is correct?
I see what you're saying. Right, right. It's not about being right.
It's about seeing
the truth. No.
Right.
Listen,
so,
you know what? Oh, go ahead.
No. It's just that is a natural expanded mind is doing that or being or, you know, and I'm not saying you're not aware of your expanded mind, nor am I, but that you have to almost be in that state in order to be able to entertain looking for the true meaning of something without having a bias.
Right,
you know?
On. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Humility in your own beliefs must be present.
Yeah.
You know, listen to this. Anya, the other night, goes to me, how come the truth always comes to you? I swear to God, she said that. And I went, because I'm willing to look at it, Anya. That's why.
Right.
Simply because I'm willing to look at it. I'm not trying to bend it so it's, fits my paradigm. You know, I God knows, my life is getting much better now, hands down, feet up, definitely.
Yeah.
But it has not always been like this. I mean, boy, I'm becoming sovereign, which means I can actually say I enjoy spending time alone. I mean, that is cellular experience of my life. I love being alone. And there was a time in this lifetime where I was phobic about physically being in a space that didn't have another human being in it. Phobic. Like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Panic attack. Oh, my God. You know, go to the bar and pick somebody up just so you're not alone. I mean, like, the places this phobia brought me to were so, oh, my God, so challenging. God knows. So challenging. And... you know, I sat on my throne the other day, Jay, and literally was like, wow, it's just amazing to me how, you know, there are times I just look back and go, I love being here with nobody, with not another human, you know, in my field. And, you know, the wind is my company, and the trees clearly are my best friends. And, you know, like, wow, so such a different experience than a fearful life. Such a different experience.
Yeah.
Simply said.
Thanks. So, by the way, everybody, I had a dream tonight, and I farted on Danny DeVito's head.
He brought it up.
Well, we've got 5 minutes. Sorry, we've got 11 minutes, or 8 minutes. I don't know. I can't see my eyes. Yeah. 9 minutes, 8 minutes, something like that. Just wanted to break the ice.
Well, on Friday, last Friday, I got to visit 90 fourth graders and bring in two of my initiation art pieces, which are the beautiful sea snake that's on, you posted that picture on the show. And, yeah, that was pretty amazing where, you know, talk about just being able, it's a gift to be able to enter the space of 90 fourth graders. And I knew I was bringing them like a fresh perspective of the unknown, of a person who lives the life I live. And it was very special. And, you know, it was one of those cases where I had nausea before I went. You know, I think that was because I didn't like school as a kid. I was like, I don't want to go back to school. But I showed up, and it was really cool because I could feel that I brought something to them that they hadn't been exposed to before, and that was really cool. So that was Friday, and so. You know, who knows, maybe the whale will be traveling with me next.
Well, I said we're going to have to get you a tow truck to get that bad boy around. Janine's going to be driving a semi.
Just to get your own initiation
art pieces.
My cousin's in the truck business, the one that, so he'll be able to help you out.
There you go, right on. I love it.
His name's Miguel, by the way.
Pardon?
What?
His name's Miguel.
Shout out to Miguel. Thank you so much for being authentic. We all appreciate it, truly.
Yeah, it was good.
We all appreciate it.
Us too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to say hello to Susan.
Okay, go girl. We love Susan. Actually, I don't know if I told you, I'm going to be meeting Susan in person.
No.
Yeah, we set it up so I know what day she doesn't have her rehabilitation work. Because I just got ahead. I was like, you know what? I want to do this. And we're so beautiful with each other because, you know, we both have issues and we have shared them with each other. Just so you know, Kevin, Susan's been listening to my show for over a year, and often when I say the audience, it's literally directed at Susan. You know, in the whole empathic world, you really realize, you know, how somebody just listening to the show is influencing my world and my choices and my experiences. And, you know, I'm coming into the space where, you know, I'm like, I want to give a hug to these people. You know, it's like, especially, I mean, she's in Connecticut, you know. So it's a drive. It's not like I have to get on a plane to do that. Not that I wouldn't do that, but, you know, from a financial point of view, it's a different story. But, I'm compelled. I'm compelled to start, you know, meeting the energies and the voices that are influencing my world, because my world is becoming simply magnificent. I mean, especially at nights that I do radio shows. I really do enjoy these nights.
But it's so funny that you had the bottles when you were a little girl of water, and Susan has these beautiful potion bottles that she makes.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even put that together. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She sent me one as a gift, and it was so beautiful.
Yeah, remember when she sent you the pictures of when she made them? That's true. Right on. Yeah, I know we're kindred spirits. I know we're kindred spirits. I mean, anybody that follows me on the radio is definitely a kindred spirit because, you know, I can be I'm rough around the edges. I know it, and I don't apologize for it. But you got to have, you know, a puzzle piece that accepts my edges. You know, otherwise, you know, there's just a whole lot of friction.
Going on.
Whole lot of friction. And I tell people all the time, like I told Pat Walker, who was on the other night, another reality show, I'm really not a voice for the masses, at least not yet, because the masses aren't ready to really embrace the truth as I know it, you know, and the truth as it's, God, the masses still don't even embrace, unless a government tells them, the masses can't embrace on their own that there's life in you know, outside of planet Earth. I mean, clearly we're not gonna see eye to eye if you can't make that life choice on your own. I mean, if you can't even embrace that, then, you know, okay, your journey is not necessarily part of my journey, not at this point, anyways.
Yeah, and I like, I was just seeing that, I was like, didn't she just post something? I just do what I want. It's not about what people are saying.
I did.
I was like, wait, let me go look at that.
It's very
did you
true.
See that, Kevin?
Yeah.
That she posted.
It's
that.
On my wall. Yeah.
It's funny.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Well, here, yeah, what you say, I have a post that says, I just do what I want. It's not about what people are saying. It's about me.
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah, I saw that one.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, well, because I'm trying to make it, you know, I'm trying to make being selfish the understanding about being soulful. You know, take it out of the negative realm that, you know, religion. And I'm not saying to people, don't be community based either, but it is clear the manipulation that has taken place, especially with women, that any time you put yourself first, you know, you're wrong, and that's wrong. You know, that you're not going to get the strength you need if you don't put yourself first, because putting yourself first, especially in connection with your soul, is the only way to connect with your soul. Somebody else can't walk you through the inner journey and say, oh, here's your soul. Even though I shouldn't say that, I was definitely supported by an Ecuadorian shaman for several years. I worked with him privately for several years. But it was, you know, my willingness to literally stand naked in front of him, which took a lot of guts for me. I had issues about being naked. He was never inappropriate, ever. But I had to, you know, because he was like, you know, if you don't wear clothes, it's funny, it was about the surrendering that really took place by me not wearing any clothes, as opposed to him just being able to touch all parts of my body with, you know, shaman stuff, you know, these lotions, or not lotions, but these water things. I mean, he would spit on me and rub flower petals on me, and, you know, of course, all divinely. I mean, it was just such a natural, raw experience. And in my vulnerability of allowing myself to do it naked without shame, and I did it shamefully, but I had 23 individual experiences with him. And by the 23rd, you know, I really was like, you know, I was ripping my, I'm ready, you know, stand spread eagle. All right, spit, babe. And because I thought about that the other day, it's like, wow, he definitely, I do believe, because of all the drugs I did, he helped me, however shamans do it, find my soul to connect back with my physical being.
Right.
And that's a really important step. Because once the soul finds you, there's no letting go. I'll never be separated like that ever again. But boy,
yeah,
when you are separated, clearly that's when the fear is, you know, the most, I don't know, the most ripe, so to speak. So.
Well, he was initiating you.
He was
initiating
you.
Yourself. Huh. Yeah.
Right on. Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, exactly.
And calling back pieces of yourself, you know.
Exactly. That's exactly what he said, too. Because he's like, because he'll ask you, he'll be like, what's your intention? And, you know, like tarot cards, I used to go, I don't know, whatever the highest good is for me. And he would always say to me, through his interpreter, but he would always say to me, connect with yourself. That's your highest good. I went, okay, I can live with that. Let's connect. You know, so every session ended up being connect with me. It's like, right on. And again, you see the selfishness in that? You know, there is selfishness in it.
No, but that's the flipping of the belief system, because the ultimate manipulation of any organization is to block you from connecting with yourself.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So,
Because you can do community service, but not at the price of not taking care of yourself. That then you're really not serving anybody. You're serving the agenda, is really. You are serving somebody, but not. Go ahead, help me with this, Gavin.
you're not honoring yourself, really. You're actually kind of ignoring. It's sort of like looking at the soul and saying, oh, no, forget about my soul, and let me just look at the rest of the souls around me. I mean, that's a completely distorted view. And say you would just focus on everyone around yourself, it's like there's going to be a certain emptiness because you're missing something. It's like, okay, what is this? You know, and it's only when you honor yourself that you're able to honor the so-called others, because, again, it's that whole reflection experience. Everyone reflects back to you really your own perception, you know?
Exactly.
Because how else can it be?
Beautifully stated.
Because,
right, that's physics. That's right. That's not wishful thinking.
No,
you know, it's not
physics.
Sometimes they reflect. It's like, no, everything on the outside is really derived and born from within. Everything.
That's the physics of know
Beautiful
thyself. Thing. That is not, that's not like dogma. That's physics. Know thyself.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. I was having this conversation with my father, because I'm probably getting ready to make a decision. I've been living with my parents for this whole time, and I'm probably getting ready to live somewhere else.
Okay.
And some discussion, some talk, and he brought up the point that, Kevin, aren't you being selfish by you wanting to move? It's like by you wanting to move and not caring about, or not caring, because he knows I care about them, but it's more of you're going to make the decision to follow your joy knowing that it's going to hurt us. That's kind of what he's saying. So it's like you're very selfish if you do that.
Mm.
You know, and there's obviously a huge misunderstanding here, because how is it that someone else would want you to do anything other than live and pursue your highest joy?
Mm.
You know, why would you want to hold someone back from experiencing the greatest possible joy that they can in this moment?
Right.
You know, it shows that there's this whole idea of selfishness. It has to be redefined or recontextualized. We have to see it. We have to see it in the context of, it's always through our own definitions and our own perspective that we see the world around us. So you really are always seeing it, at least until you really understand the whole meaning of the I. It's always come from, you know, I see this, or, you know, when I first presented this thought, it's I'm moving out. You see, it's I'm moving out, or I'm staying in. It's still coming from the I, from that, if you want to say, selfish point of view, because I can only come from the position of myself first.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I don't know how clear that was, but
Crystal.
Yeah.
Crystal. Yeah. I love. Thank you for sharing that. That is.
I mean, when the time is right, it's right, you know. And
well, right. So. But and the key is to understanding the communication of it, because soul to soul, there is no guilt. Soul to soul, there isn't. Guilt is part of the programming of. It falls into the category of being right, you know, and control. You know, it's a and you know, I don't say parents don't do this consciously. You know, it's part of, you know, how they were raised,
yeah.
And it's part of what?
It's part of the programming, yeah.
Part of the programming,
yeah.
Absolutely. But to see that so clearly, I have experienced it with my own dad. As your clarity is on that, it becomes offered to them because of the DNA and the connection you have with them. You know what I mean? That clarity becomes abundant. Available to them if they choose it. And to be honest, because our parents are really driven by the love they have for us, watching my father morph into a generous, compassionate, loving man, as opposed to get a job, there are no free rides. You know, my father has thrown me out of the house so much my entire life. And now told me just this weekend, do you need 4 or 6 weeks? Oh, Janine, we have to make the announcement. Do you need 4 or 6 weeks, you know, to get another job? Okay, take your time, no pressure. He's morphed, Kev. I mean, it's like, you know, I tell Janine, it's like watching reruns of the Brady Bunch. I just can't get enough of it. You know what I mean? He's this beautiful person that is genuinely enjoying supporting me. And with that, I segue to my beautiful co-host, Janine, who wants to make an announcement.
What?
Yes.
That Fred Pressman, right? Pressman?
Correct.
Right?
Pressman, yeah.
Fred Pressman is our sponsor, and how much I appreciate that, and I know Golden Hawk does too, but for me to have Golden Hawk's father sponsor us, I said, oh, isn't it beautiful? It's the Mystical Mother Earth Show, and we have a father energy archetype supporting the show as well. So there's the balance. And I don't have a dad in the physical world here. So I was like, oh, and I even have a father too. You know,
absolutely.
And it just felt really nice, and I wanted to say I was grateful and to thank him, and I couldn't think, you know, that's a great sponsor. He's a great sponsor, and I appreciate
it. He's a great sponsor. Thank you, Dad. Love
Thank
you.
Thank you, Dad.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, so we have another year of radio due to my dad. So,
Very nice.
Yeah, big shout out to, you know, Big Papa. Yay. And I didn't want to make the announcement because I didn't want it to be, you know,
but
a Paris Hilton, you know,
we almost forgot that there it was. At the very end, it came in. That's so beautiful.
Well, and see, Kevin brought it up with the father. Exactly.
Yes.
God, I love us. It's just exquisite. We are exquisite. So you guys want to make closing statements or, you know, something to end the show with? And it could be goodbye to, you know,
When you said that earlier, I was thinking, the seed that came from, for me right now, the seed that came from the show was what Kevin said, that there's a support. That's what I got, that there's a support,
right,
and to remember that. Because I felt that when he said it, and then I was like, there it is. You know, so
exactly.
Yeah, so I'm just going to put that out there that we're being supported and to encourage taking action and you know, trusting ourselves and moving through our fear and so that's what I when he said it, I knew that was it. I was like, there it is. So
that's
thank
beautiful,
you, Kevin,
right
and
on.
Thank you, Golden Hawk, and.
Yeah.
So he's wonderful.
You guys are welcome.
Yeah, you rock.
Everyone is welcome. Well, I mean, look, it's funny how, you guys are definitely with this, you're definitely more in tune with your psychic abilities. I mean, I was just about to say that same point and emphasize that because right now, if I would just, like you said, closing statement, it's just, I'm so thankful for being able to share this time with you guys, to speak about this with such great faith and inner knowing. And like you said, this is the support is here. The universe is cheering us on.
We have
this support. We can never feel alone because we can't be alone. You know, so we can't. Let's not allow ourselves to think that this is a little journey through a little me that is in control. You know, it's just not like that. This is a collective expansion, a collective growth that's beyond any problem or worry that we think we have. So I would just say I'm very grateful for this, and I look forward to experiencing more of it now and the experiences that are to come physically in the future.
Right on. Thank you, Kev.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you. Thank you to my co-host. Thank you to my dad. Thank you to my audience. You know, this is just one hell of a journey, and I could not be more passionate about sharing it. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me the space to do that. It is, it's mystical, babe. It's just mystical. So, until next week, we still got a few more, another reality shows from the Thursday night. Thursday night, it'll be Nancy Ward. And then the following week, I have a feeling it's just going to be me and you, Janine. I'm going to invite Alana, but we'll close out on my sixth anniversary, you know, just talking about how it's taking new shape and, you know, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, but every Monday night, 8 to 10, me and Janine and Kevin is on board for however long Kevin wants to be on board. He is welcome to be a part of this crew because it's the triangles. You know, boy, the power of three just seems to be really, really present and powerful in my awareness right now. And I am, you know, the masculine and the feminine, the balance, I'm just so grateful. So, so grateful. And, you know, and hey, Dad paid for it, so we get to keep doing it. So thank you, everyone. I love you all. Until Thursday, you guys all stay amazing and keep on flying because there's no other better way to be. There just really isn't. Namaste, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Night. Bye.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad I had
fun together.
To have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it.